Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
Well, we can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio, Monday edition of 3 and Out.
Victory Lap Monday edition.
That's Houston Kress. I'm Nate Hodges. We got Davey Hudson. We got Billy Williford. Full strength and ready to go.
Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
It's from Ghostbusters.
Man, it feels good. Feels good. Victory Monday.
It does feel good.
It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA
Victory
Employees
Monday and
Credit Union.
Losers Monday.
No. Huh.
I'm happy I lost. You guys, maybe not so much. I'm so good at this game.
I wasn't
Even
that.
Even when I lose, I feel great.
I wasn't that upset because I'd prepared myself to lose. The problem when you have the underdog is at some point you start to believe, and then your hopes get crushed and you die.
You hate to see it.
So, like, Davey got to experience all of the angst and the just automatic death on Friday.
Hate that I missed it.
Just
six or seven. Hey,
just
it's a good record.
He calculated his odds for that. His odds just of drawing that helmet were only like 4%.
That was less than that.
Once, because it was, you guys had already drawn two out of the bucket. Yeah.
I technically went last since you guys have already drawn. Nate went before I did.
Did I?
Well, when the odds,
maybe you didn't.
The odds would have increased as it.
No, you
happened.
Went before me.
That is right.
Because we didn't drop.
It was still below 4%.
Yeah, it was bad. There's only one automatic death. Not like a double team thing.
You hate to see it.
Yeah, Billy and I
apparently
had the same
Apparently Georgia
team.
Was automatic death. Not mad about it.
Three helmets had already been drawn to what it was because I drew Auburn, which had a bye week.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Whew. The one team that had a bye.
But what really matters is that one person in this room, only one.
Oh, here we go.
Had the faith. Only one volleyed.
Mm.
Only one supported these boys and this program. Only one picked Tennessee to beat Mississippi State. One amongst us had the guts and the foresight to say, this team is not as bad as people think it is. Only one. You know who it was?
Yes.
It was me. I picked Tennessee to win. That doesn't give me any credit on the
congratulations. Pick 'em. You've now tied the rest of us on picking Tennessee games.
Boom. That's a big one for me.
I think.
I needed you guys
you
to all go.
You still might be one behind.
Might still be a game
I might
back.
Be. I'm a little more
You've
optimistic.
You've been way too optimistic on Tennessee.
I vol-leaf.
You do.
And my vol-leaf was rewarded. My hope.
Well, did I have a little fuzz? A little wool.
I wore a jacket in. It was cold outside. It was chilly. So I wore this guy over here. This
guy, it looks a little sheepy.
It is sheepy.
No vest?
No vest today. Needed a full jacket.
I haven't seen a vest on you in a long time.
I think I might not be a vest guy anymore.
Oh,
we'll
no.
see. We'll see.
As people didn't shame you into that, did they?
He's not as basic as he used to be.
The look on your face as you shook that off.
I am never ashamed into anything or out of something.
I call BS.
Silence. I kill you. But only one.
Yep.
Me.
You.
Pick the Vols. 24 to 21? 24-20?
I'll give you credit. You had 24-21 as a three-point game.
It was a three-point game for a minute. And then big Jared Garantano comes in and throws a I was going to say a beauty, but it was a really easy throw to Tyler Bird.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Tyler Bird. Hey, good job. Good job, Tyler Bird. Welcome back. Welcome back, big TB. Way to hang in there as a senior. Guy went from, I'm going to try hard because I don't play receiver, to catching a big game. Well, I wasn't a game winner. It was a game clincher. It was the
icing on the cake.
It was the throat kick. We've been waiting on this team to
nail in the coffin.
Well, I've been waiting on them to deliver a throat kick in the fourth quarter. Start of the fourth quarter, you give up a touchdown drive, and I'm kind of falling on my phone while I'm fishing. I'm thinking, oh, God, here we go. Fourth quarter. We suck in the fourth quarter.
Oh, there were a lot of tweets like BYU's about to happen again.
Yeah, I was going
to
say we're going to blow it. And then Tyler Bird shows the five-star speed 4 years later, but he did show the five-star speed. Felt good. Big win. We stopped just short. Just a frog's hair short of calling this a must-win game for Jeremy Pruitt.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he do? He goes out and throws three strikes of a defensive performance. Just a hog molly of a defensive game plan.
I was looking at the top performer stats on ESPN. Leading passer for the game, Billy's guy, Jarrett Garantano, 6 of 7, 106 yards, one touchdown in relief duty.
Hard to beat that.
Ty Chandler, 16 carries, 63 yards. And Mississippi State had a receiver.
16 for 63?
Yeah, we won't worry about that receiver. Brian Maurer was 4 of 7 for 61 yards.
Two picks in the
two picks.
Yeah. Only one ball hit the ground, though. That's pretty good. He's throwing catchable passes.
Yeah, the quarterbacks together were 10 of 14 for 167, one touchdown, two picks.
And 10 of 4, we threw the ball 14 times.
Dude, we threw the ball at one point. The play selection, I believe, for the game was 22 runs, 5 passes at one point.
Know your opponent.
Maybe that was second.
I used to write an article called Know Your Opponent. You got to know your opponent.
I believe when JG went in, you had 9 straight run plays.
That was his first 9 plays? In?
Yeah.
Fairly certain.
Dude, it was 3rd and 10, and they just ran it.
Boy, a lot of people eating the Jeremy Pruitt served crow this week. He called it. He said, Jarrett Garantano is going to win us a game down the road. Everyone's, oh, why would you say that? Oh my, just like that, lickety split, Jarrett Garantano comes in, delivers the knockout punch.
I don't know. I mean, I'll give him credit for it. That's fine.
Did he throw the game-clinching touchdown or not?
Juwan Jennings could have thrown that pass.
Did he throw it? Who threw it?
I agree with that, but...
He threw it!
He threw a perfect ball to Tillman. Or no, was it Keaton?
It was Keaton.
On what, 3rd and...
That was a bigger play.
On 3rd and 5, he threw one to Juwan Jennings, and then 3rd and 6, he threw a 9-yard pass to Tim Jordan. So... Yeah, he wasn't the game changer, but he did come in after being benched.
Did
and
his
played
job.
Well. Yeah,
did his job.
You have to give him credit for that, and you have to give Tyler Bird credit, like you mentioned. Like, he had one of the best quotes of the season.
When he blocked the punt against UTC.
Yeah, he's like, I just play special teams. I don't get a lot of play on offense. I'm just going to do what I need.
And he didn't
do
it in like, I'm not playing.
Right.
He said, these guys are really good. I'm not playing that much. I'm a senior. I'm going to help the team where I can. And right now, that's busting my hump on special teams. Got the blocked punt, led to a touchdown. And then when his number was called against Mississippi State, goes in, turns the corner, and again, flashed the speed. He high-stepped a little bit down the sideline.
The Keaton pass was the turning point for Jarrett Garantano. They got the ball.
He's back.
After Mississippi State punt.
Colin Kaepernick.
At this point, was only up 10-3. So it's a one-score game. And his first pass attempt of the game, they finally let him throw the ball. After, as Davey mentioned, tons and tons of run, I think 10 straight runs. And he throws a screen pass to Juwan for -2. Like, I mean, it's a screen, you know, take the snap, throw it to him. Mississippi State guy read it, tackles Juwan immediately in the backfield. And everybody was, I mean, you could feel the moan on Twitter because fans and media people were tweeting the same thing. First completion for Garantano, -2. Here we go.
It hurt his final stats. Should have had two more yards on there. Should have been 108.
On second 12, Chandler rips off a 9-yard run, which is good. It's third and three, and then people are like, okay, it's third and three. This is a down where you can run the ball. It wouldn't be crazy to run the ball on third and three. They'd run it earlier on much longer third downs than that anyway, and they let him drop back and throw one. And not only does he hit a 41-yarder down the sideline, it's Ramel Keaton. It's not Marquez Callaway. It's not Juwan Jennings. It's Ramel Keaton, 41 yards down to the Mississippi State 13.
Welcome back, Ramel Keaton. We've been waiting on him. Welcome back. Good job, Ramel Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for him.
I don't believe we've said this yet, but in case you missed it, Tennessee did win 20-10.
I would say most people tuning in knew that, but thank you. I am a big score guy. I'd like to give the score.
Start from the beginning. Yeah.
The end, really.
The game Tennessee goal, won the time goal, of possession, score. Which, in my personal opinion, I believe you have to win an SEC, in every SEC game. You're not going to win it unless you win the time of possession based off this current roster.
Okay, just a Tennessee.
Yeah,
goal.
With this team this year. Yeah, I got you. And then, so even once they're down there, Houston, I know you were fishing in the tournament.
I was.
It was third and nine from Mississippi State 12, and they ran the football. If that tells you anything about how conservative they got.
Is that the touchdown run from Jordan?
No.
Oh, okay. He
ran for seven, and then
this is kicking the field goal.
Then on fourth and two, they kicked a 22-yard field goal, which a lot of people jumped all over Pruitt at the end of the half for his conservative play when they just basically conceded that they weren't going to try and score a touchdown once they were in long field goal range. Luckily, you have a stud kicker who can make that, and he did. So that worked out, and a lot of people were blasting the team for being conservative in the second half. For instance, here, to go up 10 instead of trying to go up 14. But you'd thrown two picks in the red zone with Maurer, and if you—
I'm going to be honest. I saw the first one on the fade. Mm-hmm. Really good read by the defensive back, and you guys were watching it, right? They worked on that in the pregame, stealing off
They knew. They knew.
Yeah. Which is weird because we hadn't run that with Maurer yet. We hadn't thrown that exact fade.
They must know that Chaney loves that play in the red zone.
The little button hook, three-step button hook to leak in that outside corner, and then you just run to the open spot, and that guy just bailed. And he was just sitting there waiting on it. It was a pop fly.
Another team later in the night ran that same play. I think it was Kentucky against Arkansas, actually. Kentucky ran that same play, and the Arkansas corner, on the outside guy, never even looked at the quarterback. Just stayed glued to his guy, and Kentucky hit it for a touchdown.
That far away, I got to be honest, I don't like the button hook. Just run a slant, or just run right down the line of scrimmage towards the quarterback. That way he can't bail, otherwise the inside guy's wide open. Because they're not going to pass that off.
Yeah, why not just run like it's going to be a rocket screen?
I don't like because you're taking three quick steps, the cornerback starts to bail, then he turns, and then by then the ball's probably already in the air.
I think it's because when they're not down the red zone, they do want that guy to sit shallow, because a lot of times late he is open once everybody bails and clears out. But on the goal line, you really can't edit that.
Not enough space.
But it credit the Tennessee coaching staff for correctly identifying that Mississippi State was not going to be able to score much in this game.
Yeah. So that's the difference, right?
Knowing when to play to win and knowing when you don't have to.
Right.
Is a huge part of the in-game feel.
And that's a big credit to Derek Ansley and to Jeremy Pruitt. That's a good feel for the game type of thing. And I'm not saying Mississippi State is some kind of a world beater, but to hold those guys to 10 points, not bad. Not bad at all. I mean, obviously that's their lowest output of the season. They had 38, 38, 24, 28, 23, and then Tennessee holds them to 10. Off a bye week. Tennessee played Georgia. Not a bye week. Unless we just completely skipped the Georgia game plan defensively. Which at times, Nate, it actually looked like maybe we just skipped the entire game plan for Georgia defensively. We didn't really play that good at defense. But the defense against Mississippi State, three picks. Three.
Was it Optimism Tuesday when I threw it out there that they've been pretty good on the run fits? Been pretty good about nowhere to be.
We said it. We said, hey, we're pretty. That's the one thing we're pretty good
at.
They
played with a little more fire, a little more physicality up front.
They had juice.
And Kylan Hill, who I picked to be the leading rusher, did nothing.
11 carries, 13 yards with a long of?
Nothing.
Four.
Nothing.
Tennessee averaged 4.3 yards a carry on 44 carries. That's a lot. 190 yards rushing for the Big Orange Mississippi State, 37 rushes, 121 yards. That's 3.3 yard average. Their leading rusher, Garrett Schrader, who just apparently looks exactly like Tommy Stevens when he's running the ball, except for the fact that he averages twice as many yards per carry, which is exactly what we said last week in the pregame. Said, watch Schrader on the run. He likes to do that. But you know, the longest run you gave up was to Schrader for 14. Tennessee had runs of 23, 22, 15, and 15. Longest run of the day for Tennessee, Brian Maurer, 23 yards. He had three carries for 41 yards. That's 13.7 a carry for the Vols freshman quarterback, who is now in concussion protocol, apparently, according to Jeremy Pruitt. Congrats on saying concussion from him.
Yeah,
it's a new,
he's growing.
It's a new word in the vocab.
As a coach,
he's in the got his bell rung protocol this week. Juwan Jennings, one carry, 22 yards. What was that? Was that a bubble screen, or was that did he go wildcat? Did they go pop pass handoff? Do you remember that one?
I thought it was behind, just a pass behind the
was
line.
Was it? Okay. Don't like that. I wish we'd throw those forward. It's dangerous. You thinking about it?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if they ran the, like,
Don Wood Anderson also had a carry for 5 yards.
Well, they did a jet sweep with a tight end. Yeah.
Yeah, that was Don.
Okay.
I think it was Rob Lewis tweeted, Chaney's really emptying the playbook because he had called the 9 straight runs. And I was like, well, he did hand the ball to a tight end on an end around. So he kind of is, in a way, just all the run plays, not any of the passes.
Tennessee had, count them up, 7 sacks.
Yeah.
After not being able to breathe warm air on Jake Fromm a week ago, after not getting a blade of grass to touch the upper half of that kid's body, you got after Mississippi State, 7 sacks, 10 tackles for loss. We are credited with 0 quarterback hurries. 7 sacks and no hurries, is that a thing? We either got all or nothing. I like it.
I feel like whoever's on hurries didn't tally
either side.
Yeah, because yeah. Mississippi State had no hurries, too.
Shouts out to ESPN.
Maybe they didn't.
You missed an entire – well, no, passes defended. Well, they did get passes defended. We have 2.
Okay.
2. Yeah. 1 sack for Mississippi State. It was against Jarrett Garantano. Again, Brian Maurer in concussion protocol after I did not see the game. I'm going to be honest. I tried to watch some of it last night. I was exhausted. It was a long 6-hour drive home. But I did this morning see the scorpion dive by Brian Maurer. Yes, he needs to be in concussion protocol. And in fact, you're playing Bama this weekend. I would say he should stay in concussion protocol.
Really smart play by Hank T to get the targeting call in the second half. I mean, I'm pretty sure he knew that Tennessee was going to win at that point. Go ahead and get the first half, you know, suspension against Alabama. Yeah. Mm. And that way, at halftime, if it's over, you can just be like, yeah, why don't you just take the day off?
Yeah, he's a smart kid. Smart kid for a freshman.
While we're on Alabama.
We're not on Alabama at all.
I don't think I've ever seen a worse line for Tennessee. Like, they've never been this big of an underdog in a game ever.
Is it 40?
35 and a half.
I thought it'd be actually more than that. 35 and a half?
You thought it'd be more than 5 touchdowns?
That's what I had heard, yeah. I heard it was going to be a lot. It is more than 5 touchdowns. I heard it might be closer to 40 and a half from a gambling aficionado.
Well, 5 touchdowns if you include the extra points.
Which I do. Plus a half a kick.
Well, I saw 34 and a half. That's what I meant.
Oh.
Okay. Let's not. It's Monday.
Yeah, last week it was trending towards 40. But they saw that vaunted Tennessee defense against Mississippi State and said, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Let's stick
with the
winning.
Take a touchdown off the board for Bama because these guys are good.
Stick with the winning.
You think Mississippi State got caught looking ahead?
I think Mississippi State sucks.
I agree.
They were awful.
That's right. T. Bowman tweets in, they tried the double pass for Juwan. I actually did see that play.
That was
it. And then he just took off down the sideline.
Money.
And ran that guy over.
Backwards pass and then...
He ran that guy over, too, down the sideline. I was like, oh, he's going to get crunched here, and the guy just falls down almost dead. I was like, yep, you don't go heads up with Juwan if you're a little safety. It's a bad mistake. He won't make it again.
We had said, like, one of these teams on the schedule, not counting Vanderbilt, would play a crappy game at some point, and Tennessee needed to take advantage of it. And that's what happened Saturday. I mean, think about it. Like, if you got the Tennessee offensive story without the defensive side – if I said, Houston, Maurer's going to throw 2 red zone picks, get hurt. Garantano's going to come in the game, and you're only going to throw, you know, you're going to be whatever it was, 10 of
6 for 7, 100.
What were they together? 10 of 14 for 100 and something yards, and you're going to have 100 and something yards rushing, and you're going to score 20 points. Do you think Tennessee wins with 20 points? I mean, maybe.
Well, I believed, so I probably would have said yes.
Maybe, but I think if you only got that half of the game, you'd have been like, yeah, probably lost 24-20, 28-20, something like that.
Who was the last Tennessee coach to beat two West teams?
Especially because the stats were so.
We got our guy, boys.
Come on, man.
We got him. We got him.
Especially because the stats were so bad on offense, like total, you know, yardage and stuff.
If you told me Tennessee would average 4.3 a carry and have 7 sacks, I'd have probably told you we'd win.
You don't get the sacks. I was just saying the offense.
Well, I'm saying they matter. It's a complimentary game.
Well, the runs, the yards per carry are good, but they get mitigated. But when you run it down there and you throw a pick in the red zone, like you've at least got to turn that into 6 more points, if not 10 or 14.
The defense was cooking out there, man. What can you say?
What, Mississippi State defense? I'm talking about us throwing picks in the red zone.
I know, but they were taking chances because they were like, defense has got it. We're going to throw. And then they were like, okay, we don't want to throw too many picks in the red zone. We'll start kicking some field goals, and then we'll just hit the big plays.
That was the thing. Tennessee's defense was playing well enough to where you didn't need one of the quarterbacks to go out there and try and be a hero. You just protect the ball, be a game manager, and you're going to win.
But you didn't know that early in the game. So I don't really –
I did.
I don't I don't blame Maurer for trying to make plays.
I don't have a problem with the first pass.
I haven't seen the second one.
He kind of threw it back across the field a little bit because he had scrambled outside the pocket and then threw it over.
Across his body, backwards. Yeah, you can't do that.
And it was a little late, too.
The first one, you kind of just got out-coached on, really. Like, you're telling your kid, hey, this is gonna be one-on-one. Throw it where only your guy can catch it.
Yeah, and the throw was a little bit inside for just based on what – and Juwan was getting kind of – he was getting kind of grabbed. I'm saying inside as far as – yes, it was to the left. If he leads it more down the field, up, and I guess inside –
it's a little to the outside.
Yeah. I'm saying inside towards the coverage of the short corner. So
okay.
But, yes, he threw it to the left of Juwan, whereas if the ball's on target, I mean, I'll take Juwan against two people.
Probably at least incomplete.
Yeah, I think –
a little bit
looking back on that play too, I believe it was Callaway underneath. Like Maurer kind of knew where he was going the entire time. And
yeah, Callaway was
able
open
to read it.
I mean, I don't know if it would have been a touchdown, but it would have been. Callaway could have just
turned
upfield.
One guy to beat at that point.
Billy's watching the replay on that. I feel like that he puts the throw exactly where you want it if that guy's not there. You know what I mean? Like you want to let Juwan use the width of the field to get.
Yeah, that's
there.
What I was saying. It felt like Juwan was getting kind of held back a little bit. He was hand fighting and. I don't know.
But basically, you're saying we're scheming this up to where it's going to be here, see the single coverage, and throw it. And
Didn't get single
I mean, they
coverage.
Got, yeah, like he, like they, got, that
got
was
the
tendency.
Got the true double coverage there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, I mean, let's be honest. At this point in the season, if you're in the red zone, I'm probably going to double Juwan Jennings at any point I get an opportunity because that's been the go-to guy.
The other thing that's genius about the defense on this is it's 3rd and 4. It's not goal to go. It's 3rd and 4. It is in the red zone. The ball's at about the 11. It's 3rd and 4, so the hitch route is right at the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think the defender would at least hang out there long enough for you to.
And maybe he did. I'm trying to see. Does he bail right on the throw?
I mean, he just.
I thought he bailed a little bit before.
I think he did, too.
They knew it was coming.
If he zips that to Callaway, it might be a touchdown. Because he was bailing back and away from the play.
Well, if he pumps it to Juwan and then throws it underneath,
that's
saying,
definitely
right?
A touchdown. Yep. Even if he doesn't pump, if he just holds it there and lets that guy
just look him off, too. Yeah.
At least it's a first down. But if he holds it and then tries to throw it to Juwan, then you're. That's the
then
mistake Garantano's been making. Yeah. Is holding it too long. So I don't
probably should have just sailed that one out of
bounds.
That's
kind of just hard luck, right there.
You gotta kind of see that guy.
The other one is guy was open, like he's rolling right, and his receiver's open coming across the back of the end zone.
Josh Palmer.
The problem is he's got to
throw back it. Josh Palmer. He made a nice catch there on an in route.
He's got to throw it a little against his body. It wasn't like he chucked it back way over to the left side, but as he throws it going right, he does have to go a little back across his body. And it's a little behind him, and it just takes forever to get there. So as Palmer's coming across,
didn't have good zip on
his guy, just catches up and picks it off.
Yeah, the old catch up play. Yeah,
yeah,
it happens.
I mean, the only way that works is if you lay it so far out in Palmer, in front of Palmer, that he can't slow down at all. And then I don't know, you might have run him into other coverage on the other side, but that one probably should have just been a throw it away and eat it.
Welcome back, Big Brent Smaglia. Two big kicks,
huge,
including
Google.
A 49-yard
huge kick.
Stroke. He's back.
Here
he had
go,
the one miss against Georgia. Didn't really matter.
He didn't really have anything. Could have taken the check down right there coming back to the left. But then once he starts to roll to the right.
I can't see that. They shrunk the screen on us. Shouts out.
Split screened it
SEC
for some reason.
Network.
But see, he gets 32
nice
undercuts
it. Boy, those their secondary is really good at high pointing. Good hands on the secondary. They should play receiver. They don't have any good receivers.
Bob Shoup should throw a fit. He should be out on Joe Moorhead's doorstep Sunday morning cussing him out a la Jeremy Pruitt.
That was still probably the best performance Bob Shoup ever had in Neyland.
True. You know what? You remember how he said no one would run on Tennessee and then everyone ran on Tennessee?
Yeah.
I was reminded of that as Tennessee was able to continue to just run the football for first downs in the second half. It was nice. Here you go. He's rolling. See how it's back across?
Yeah, it's not a good throw.
And he can't really lead him farther because there's another guy.
Yeah, you got to sail it out of bounds.
You got to throw that
away. Sail it out of bounds. Yeah, freshman mistakes.
We'll come back. Victory lap Monday. Feels good. Home 3 and out. Stick with us right here. It's Fan Run Radio.
I'm sunburned. You caught a little bit of the During the Break podcast there.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's good.
A little behind the curtain.
They're kind of nasty.
David wants to know why Pruitt always has the team jacked up when we play SEC West teams. He knows we play in the East, right? Seems like he puts more stock on the West teams because that's where he came from. I don't know.
Maybe he's trying to get a West teams, job down the
wish
road.
Wish he would get his teams up for the East teams like that. I mean, I think he's trying to.
I really do wonder if we punted the Georgia week defensively and said we're going to focus on Mississippi State.
Maybe.
I mean, we saw that a halfway damn decent defense can shut down Georgia.
That was something.
That was something, wasn't it? You talk about, I'm out on the lake. There's zero service in Paris, Tennessee, by the way. I would just like to add zero.
Zero.
So it's taking me 30 minutes to refresh the page. I got to put the phone down and just watch it, see if it finally clicks over. And I'm like, Tennessee's up, 20-10. Looks like they're going to win this one. Hot dog.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'll check some other scores. Takes 45 minutes. Georgia.
Was it over? Or was it?
No, it was Georgia down 17-10 driving. And I was like, holy cow, they might lose to South Carolina. And they forced overtime. And I'm thinking, well, there's no way they're going to lose in overtime.
Right.
They got Blankenship. Oh, Blankenship. Glasses. Glasses with a big miss in OT. You hate to see it.
I mean, it was.
And Jake Fromm, not very good.
So I've been bragging about my 2 TV setup all year.
I had no TV setup.
Well, this week, I was in that rare situation where I had to make a call. I was like, all right, I'm definitely Tennessee, Mississippi State at noon on the big TV.
As it should be.
TV number two. At first, I thought, well, I'll just put Texas, Oklahoma on there, and I'll just check in on South Carolina, Georgia. Because you guys know I'm from South Carolina. I despise Georgia just for everywhere I've
They're
lived.
Easy to hate.
Yeah,
it's
I
not
mean,
just you.
I mean,
I think I hate Georgia more than
I
hate
Florida. I've lived
Florida.
In South Carolina and Tennessee. My wife is from Tennessee, went to Tennessee.
You're a cock. At heart. What? Gamecock.
The way you said that.
No.
Okay. Anyway, so at the last minute, at about 11:55, I went, you know what? I got this extra smaller TV. I don't really care.
You went to
that,
a 3 TV setup?
I don't really care that much about the Red River Showdown that they're calling it now.
Showdown.
Yeah, they've gone to another name to make it easier to say because no one can say Red River Rivalry except you and me because that's the first time I've nailed it right there.
River Rivalry.
So
I did it.
I was like, you know what? I think I'll give Georgia South Carolina TV number two, and I'm just going to put the ABC game or the Texas Oklahoma on TV three. So I actually, it was muted because I had Tennessee. I wanted the sound on there. But I actually saw a lot of this game. And Muschamp in this defense, I don't know where that South Carolina defense has been because the offense kind of sucked. And Georgia
third-string quarterback.
Georgia just did that thing where they
Clemsoned.
They look pretty good between the 20s on offense. They keep the chains moving. But then they just do something really stupid. And Jake Fromm, I mean, did the dumbest thing I've ever seen him do when he was getting pressured and off his back foot just threw the ball towards the receiver on the sideline, and it turned into a pick six, and that was
that was the game.
Yeah, that put South Carolina up 17-10, and it stayed that way until late.
Yeah. I did think Georgia was going to get into field goal range there on that last drive. That penalty, I wonder if they would have tried Blankenship from 60 had they not gotten the illegal procedure, because that pushed it back, I think, to 65 with like 2 seconds to go. Right?
Right, it did. But there were already only like 4 or 5 seconds left when they ran that. That was going to be...
Right, I'm saying if they don't get that, that would have been about, I think it was a 60-yarder for Blankenship, and I'm wondering if they would have...
The fans were already booing that they weren't rolling him out there for that kick.
Interesting. I mean, if there was anybody to make a 60-yarder...
I thought it was stupid. I'm like, how do you not give this kid a shot? There's no risk. Because the announcers are like, the only reason we can think of that Kirby Smart won't do this is because he was on the Alabama sideline when the Auburn guy ran it all the way back.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And it... Like, that's not going to happen again,
dude,
ever.
Both these coaches are morons.
Jen was texting me. She said, you have to watch the end of this game.
Go back and just watch it and let it play.
This was the duel of incompetent idiots. Who could out-idiot the other one? Congrats to Kirby Smart. Biggest idiot.
It was unbelievable.
Well-deserved.
I tweeted that they both deserved to lose. Like, they could, or tie. They should have just tied into regulation. This is just a tie. Both coaches don't want to win it bad enough. We're not playing overtime.
Maybe it should have just been a loss for both.
That would work for me.
How about Kirby Smart, though? Remember, they were like, we get kept out of the championship because we don't schedule good enough teams. You can't beat South Carolina at home, man. What was the line in that game?
23.5, I believe.
I
think it was 24.5.
24.5. Because he said it on the Periscope because he's making a save fix. He goes, it doesn't really matter. I got Georgia.
I've never been happier to lose.
And I was like, at some point, one of these games is going to crush somebody.
I'm not crushed. I'm excited. I am a little bit more worried about South Carolina now, though. I will admit that.
Well, okay, there were only 3 seconds left when they decided to throw the ball.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Like, why are you not kicking? And that was at the South Carolina 38-yard line.
That was at the 38?
The 38-yard line. It's a 55-yard field goal. 55.
That is stupid. That is really,
right?
Really dumb.
55.
Yeah. So if it was the 38,
yeah,
I thought the penalty backed into the 43.
When did the illegal shift come in?
Was it before that play, or was it?
They had called. It was an incomplete pass from the 38 with 8 seconds left.
Then they got the penalty, right?
So the clock was stopped.
Yes.
They came out with 3 seconds, or they run the next play with 3 seconds left with the offense. I don't even know why they changed the play. Like, you're just throwing a Hail Mary. There's 3 seconds left.
And that's what caused the penalty?
So he takes the snap. He changed the play. The two receivers on the outside, one's on the ball, one's off, they switched. So they switched and were lined up correctly, but they switched and snapped it before they both
were set. They weren't set. Gotcha.
So they threw the flag, and then I can't even remember what happened on the it was another incompletion.
Yeah, it was incomplete.
See, I thought they were trying to go with just like a quick out route.
Did they have a timeout
left? No, they didn't have any timeouts left, but I thought they were trying to get an out route to where it would be a closer field goal, not necessarily go for a Hail Mary at that point.
I don't think you can do that with 3 seconds.
You can't, not with three. Why would you not just kick it there?
I don't know. 55 yards? Blankenship?
I'll bet you that's why he missed in overtime. He was probably mad. He was probably upset that they didn't just trot him out there for the 55.
South Carolina had just tried from 58. And guess what? It had the distance. He missed it, pushed it to the right. Parker White, he's not even as good. That was a dumb call by Muschamp.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You either punt or you go for it. Like, yeah. There's no in-between. Because with South Carolina, there was still 1:08 left in the game. Wait, that's not right. That's how long the drive took. It's going to be close, though. There were 40 seconds left in the game. You had the ball at Georgia's 40-yard line, 4th-and-3. So let's set that situation. You're in a tie game. You're the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4th-and-3 from your opponent's 40 with 40 seconds left. You may even still have a timeout because South Carolina... No, that's they took a timeout when I thought, what are you doing? Like, they could have been in this situation with about 15 seconds left, which would have made it a lot easier
decision.
Yeah, they
took it really early, and I'm just like, just let the clock run down.
They took a timeout with like a minute 25 left or something when they weren't even close to field goal range. They were like around midfield. It's like, you need to let this thing run, so if you don't get a first down, you can punt, and Georgia has no time left. But they didn't. They end up 40 seconds left, 4th-and-3 at the Georgia 40. So it's a 50, your options, 57-yard field goal, punt, which now there'll be about 30 seconds left. Georgia, with timeouts, only needs a field goal, but at least they'll be backed up at least to the 20, hopefully the 10 if your punter does his job. Or go for it and say, hey, we're the underdog. If we get this first down, we've probably made it now at least like a 50-yard field goal, and if we can get a few more yards, we'll have a chance to kick, let's say, even a 50-yard field goal. We'll have a chance to kick a 50-yard field goal with no time left and send it to overtime. Mm. But if we don't get it, you know, whatever. But instead, they kick the field goal from 57, miss it, which gives Georgia great field position. They still have timeouts, and, you know, the rest is history. And then not to mention that South Carolina has the game won because the Georgia receiver in overtime just lets the ball go right through his hands for Jake Fromm's third interception to the same cornerback. Lines up a 33-yarder.
Wait, he threw all three to the one guy?
All three to the one guy.
Big game for him.
He had a pick.
Hat trick.
It's like a 6'4 corner. Dude, looks like a receiver out there. It's crazy. So the
I
first
just got nervous about him.
Don't worry. He's used up all his interceptions this year, I think. That's the way it works from the
especially
VFLs.
Those count like three apiece. Yeah. If you get them on Fromm, the guy doesn't throw them.
That was Fromm's first interception of the year was the pick six.
Hell of a way to break the cap.
Yeah. But the ball goes right through the Georgia guy's hands, hits off the helmet, and dude, he's just kind of standing behind him in coverage.
That was like Bentley's interception last year against Georgia.
Payback.
Just throws a heater. That one was a little high. This one was apparently on the money. Well, that broke Fromm. He got all shook after that. He's like, I throw a great pass and intercepted. Then they don't kick the field goal with blanket chip. And what does he do? Gets into OT.
The most surprising thing
was it a bad miss or did he just – was it just a bit outside? The blanket chip miss in OT.
It's actually right here. So he kicks it. It starts out probably barely inside the left upright and just hooks a little. Misses it by 2 or 3 yards.
It was breezy in the area.
The wind was blowing that way.
The Parker White one was the one where it's just like it could cut at the last second where it's just like right over the goalpost.
You ever just push a drive that doesn't
fade
or hook? It just kind of – you just push it and it just keeps going right. It's not really slicing. It's just – on the wrong line.
Yeah, I've done that a time or two.
Yeah, that's the way Parker White was. From 33, just missed it.
Yeah.
When they missed that, it's like, okay, there's the South Carolina moment, and now Georgia will win.
That Georgia loss makes Missouri the top team in the East.
Ineligible.
Tennessee. That might be a good thing.
Tennessee with the inside track.
Ole Miss, I told you Ole Miss would give them a game. They did.
Florida sitting at 3-1 in conference, Georgia 2-1, South Carolina 2-2, Tennessee 1-2, Kentucky 1-3, and Vanderbilt 0-3.
Bad loss
in case
to
you thought
they were
might,
a 16.5 point favorite.
In case you thought you might have save picks, the biggest blowout this week was UNLV over Vanderbilt. So we all lost that right there out of the gate.
Which one did I take?
I don't know.
Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And Swift.
Well, did he do anything at all? Probably not.
No. I mean, I don't know. They actually racked up a bunch of yards in this game. They just couldn't score.
You were saying between the 20s, right?
Jake Fromm was 28 of 51 for 295.
They threw it 51 times?
51
Man,
times.
They could not run the ball, could they?
Swift had 23 carries for 113. He averaged 5 yards
good.
A carry.
Sure. Averaged 5 yards a carry and he threw it 51 times?
Well, Zamir White only averaged 3.7. They weren't – he would
you
rip
do?
Off –
Was it Coley? Is that his name? Coley?
Yeah.
Idiot.
Swift would rip off a few semi-longer runs.
And then get stuffed.
But he gets stuffed. And that's what happened in overtime. They stuffed him on first down, I think. And it was 2nd-and-10. Incomplete. That's why Blankenship had a kick from 42. I mean, really, it's the distance.
When he
the
misses.
Kid,
when
it's
he
the distance the guy missed in the Buffalo Super Bowl. Like, it wasn't a chip shot.
Blankenship range is
Butch
not
Jones
his problem.
That.
What?
Huh?
Wasn't that what Butch Jones always said? He caught that miss for Buffalo?
Really?
I never heard
I don't
this story.
That.
You guys not remember this?
No.
We talked about this on the show.
I tried I've neuralized myself from everything Butch Jones.
Maybe that's why he's cursed.
That Buffalo. Okay, that, so that just
that
real
goal.
Quick before we go to a break, there was a Butch had said that he caught that missed point because I believe that game took place in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But no one ever had footage of it. But Butch claimed he was like working.
He's full of bleep.
That's the Jeff Hostetler game, right?
And he caught the missed kick.
Backup quarterback.
I don't buy it.
Norton missed it. 42.
I need proof.
I'll find that on the other side.
final segment, hour one, Victory Lap Monday edition Balled of the program. Up. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Final segment, hour number one. Tennessee wins, Georgia loses, and Florida loses all in the same weekend. Feels good. And now it's Alabama week. But we'll get to that on Wednesday. Wednesday can be the day where we just kind of stew in misery.
There's no need.
What do you mean?
Stew in misery? What are you talking about?
We all get punished.
Oh, yeah. That,
yeah, yeah.
That
was, so, do that later,
yeah. How do you stop a slant? Nah, we'll wait. Save it for Wednesday.
Well, Florida couldn't. I mean, LSU just RPO'd them to death. And what's funny is I think Florida's linebackers have been pretty well schooled because later in the game they tried to adjust and was like, okay, listen. I know you see run from the offensive line. I know your key says run, but stay with depth. Stay with depth so you can help our guys out on these RPO slants that come in behind you. And as Florida continued, as their linebackers continued to hold and hold, then Joe Burrow started handing it off, and LSU started running it for just massive gains on the ground. And one of the analytics guys, Davey, or Billy, follows and recommended I follow too. I saw him tweeting. He's like, and now the RPOs have come full circle. Now, like, you're really – like, LSU has cracked the code on this new – like, this is the new wishbone. Like, the wishbone hit college football. Everybody started running it because the first teams that started running it were – the first good teams that started running it just started dominating people. You know, even in that Saturdays in the South thing, Bear Bryant's like, we got to put the wishbone in because and did it in surprise teams, and there you go. Like, this is the new way to let the quarterback – make the defense wrong no matter what. And Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow right now are two of the best at college football just doing that to you.
Yeah, I only made that comment because I think Alabama scored three plays or scored three touchdowns on three slants.
And I don't know if those were all RPOs, but
I'm
that's
not sure.
but they probably were. I mean, it's just it's impossible to help your corner and stop the run game on those plays. Because basically you're just running a read handoff. Unless the linebacker sucks up, and if he does, then you throw the slant right in behind him. And if you tell your corners to play inside technique, well, now you're one-on-one with those Alabama receivers or the LSU receivers to the outside, and it's over.
Joe Burrow, 21 of 24, 293, three touchdowns. Pretty good.
That's who I want the Titans to draft next year.
LSU as a team, averaged 9.1 yards a carry. 24 carries, 218 yards.
And that's against a Florida defense that going into this game had given up 57 points all season.
Total.
They did have the guy that just was killing people. Grenard went down with injury, and Zuniga was back for the game, and I think he went down with an injury during the game too. So they were missing their two big guys up front, but still, I mean still. It was so easy for LSU to go right down the field.
No sacks for Florida, one tackle for loss.
Yep, give me Burrow.
Burrow's good, man. He's good.
If you had to vote today, he's the guy I would have winning the Heisman.
Over Tua?
Over Hurts?
That's right what I now. Meant. That's what I mean.
But like,
get those Bama quarterbacks.
I know it's all been great statistically for all three of those guys, but Bama and Oklahoma haven't really played great of teams.
Burrow did beat Texas also.
They scored more points. Now, it was the same margin of victory. I believe the final score for LSU-Texas was 45-38. The final score for Oklahoma-Texas was
34-27. I'm fine with that take, Davey. I think you can make an argument for three or four guys right now. That's all we need the full season.
Many?
But Burrow has been that good, and that's the important thing.
I
give him the edge because he has played more stiff competition.
How many years did we sit back and say, man, if LSU could get a quarterback?
And then even when they had him last year, we said that because we didn't.
I thought he was good last year, but this year he's unreal.
They basically said that last year he felt like a duck out of water. Like he's a good quarterback.
He was doing stuff he hadn't done before. Yeah. And then this year they're like, okay, RPO.
you can run around a little bit. Got a really good arm. We got ballers at receiver because it's LSU. They always do. No one has better receivers that you've never heard of every year than LSU. Well, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, people have heard of them this year. Man, Jefferson, 10 for 123 and a touch. Chase, 7 for 127 and two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns.
I mean, it was Jamar those
Chase
two guys.
Is the truth.
Those two guys were unguardable.
According to ESPN's quarterback rating, Joe Burrow has the highest at 218.1. Jalen Hurts is 215.9, and Tua is 214.3.
Pretty good. And as Davey said, a little bit better competition thus far for LSU.
Burrow has 25 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Hurts has 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And Tua has 27 touchdowns and 1 interception.
27 and 1. Yo.
They ain't played nobody, though, Paul.
They ain't played nobody yet.
All three have a completion percentage over 70%.
Sheesh.
And all three have a passing average of over 11 yards per pass.
Yo.
I don't know if this is I don't know if this is a good comparison or not. I'm not old enough to remember, but I mean it
back
feels
in my day.
It feels like when the wishbone took over and teams that they're like, can you believe how fast that guy is at quarterback and how he always either hands it or keeps it or pitches it and you can't stop him? Just in the pass game now. Just make the defense.
Hey, we're hunting it. Once Ozavet gets his hands on Maurer for a full offseason.
Oh, Tennessee's been running them. Tyler Bird throw was
what
RPA.
I'm saying is it's only going to get better.
All right.
We're catching up with the game.
Okay.
We're finally going to be on the curve, not behind it.
All right.
Maybe not ahead of it, but on it.
On it.
Riding the wave.
It's getting better.
Feeling the flow.
Hour two next.